Hello, everyone. This is Clarissa Bell, and this is the bi-monthly teleclass. And welcome to the second teleclass of the year. And as usual, I'm going to start off with just a quick short meditation just to center us into this time and place and space. So if you can, just close your eyes. If not, just take in these words very lightly. There's nothing to really do. Just be here, same thing. Okay, becoming aware of your breathing, noticing that you're breathing, and that you don't have to do anything to breathe. It's being done for you. Just become aware of your breathing. And as you become aware of your breathing, just notice, as you take that in, just the soothing quality of the breath. Breath is life. And sometimes we forget to notice these simple things that are occurring without effort on our parts, but this very powerful, beautiful thing that's keeping us, at least in this body, anchored here in this time and space, is the breath. So just noticing your breath. And putting your attention onto your root chakra right at the base of the spine. And just imagining that there's just a golden ball of light there as your root chakra. And just imagine petals of leaves just opening from this ball, opening up as just opening up down to the energy, to allowing that energy of that chakra going right down to the center of the earth. Just like a petal, petals of flowers just opening gently and allowing that energy just to ground you. You're here, you're safe. Remembering to just also be aware of your breathing. And now I want you to just take your attention back up to the top of your head and also notice the top of your crown chakra. And then imagine that opening up like petals, like flowers, just blooming and blossoming and opening up, golden leaves. And now imagine, feel from above, from the light of your soul, whatever word you want to use, but that aspect of our being that is eternal and timeless. But feel this golden liquid light of unity, ribbons of sunlight just flowing down all around you and down through the opening at the crown chakra all the way down into your body. All the way down through the opening of the root chakra into the earth. Ribbons of sunlight flowing through the rocks and the crystals of the earth all the way down to the center of the earth. Just imagine that it's done. You don't even know how it's done, but this is so. And now just take a minute to just breathe this in. Just breathe in this golden light, this liquid light of love. Allowing us to be here, fully anchored, here and now. And so it is. And now, slowly bringing your attention back to the call, to this technology that's allowing us to connect in this way. And we say, thank you. So today, the topic, as the format of the show is, I give a short topic at the top of the hour, about 15 minutes or so. And then I go into the cards, and if there are people online who want readings, then I give readings. So I'm going to start with the topic today, and it's Be Here Now. It's the topic. We're really talking about the now. I mean, I think we hear a lot about the now. But what does that really mean? And I don't know that I have any new definition. I don't think many things are new. I think we just hear the same things in different ways. But one way I have started thinking about the now is if you look at life, or if you just look at yourself, I mean, what are we aware of now in this moment? What can we know? Can we know anything? The only thing I could say I know is that I'm experiencing something right now. Like in this moment, I'm actually experiencing my lips moving. I'm experiencing some thought processes, but it's all happening right now. And that's what I mean by the now. I'm experiencing something now. Oh, and then just a millisecond ago, that now has gone, and now I'm in a new now. It's just whatever I'm experiencing that I can be aware of right in this moment, and that's the now. Okay, so, one of the simple ways of kind of connecting back into the now is what I described in the meditation before, is to simply become aware of the breath. Okay, a lot of times we're thinking, we're in our head, and we're this moment, the experience of what's happening now is not present to it. So something that's really easy to have us become more present to really take in what's happening is to just become aware of the breath, to notice the breathing. That kind of brings us right back to this present moment, brings our attention to it, our awareness to it, and actually allows us to take it in on a visceral, cellular level. Okay, so, and everything happens in the now. I want to make a phone call, I do it now, or later, but that's another now. Everything is happening in the now. There is the now. It's happening right now. It's this experience. So the more we can actually be here, present with what's happening, to really feel it, the richer, the juicier our life is. Okay. So, but oftentimes we're not really fully present here in the now. And I want to go into and spend a little bit of time talking about what really happens to take us out of the moment of now. Okay. So when I'm not right here, when I'm not right here and now, in the simple fullness and the presence of my being, what's happening, where am I? Where have I gone? Okay, this is a question to ask yourself. When I'm not right here now, where have I gone? Okay? And usually there are four different places that we go. We go into time, we go into the past and into the future. So that's past is one place we go. The future is another place. And then we go into subject object. Me. So me, stories about me, and then stories about you or the other. And you would be you, another person, you're another object, or anything to do with anything outside of me, the world, others, you know. Okay. So let's spend a little time going into these four places that we generally go that takes us out of the now. Okay, time. So we're going to the past position. Okay. Now, I actually spend more time in the future, but of course, I think, and the places where I do go into the past are, well, there are two main places where I go into the past. One is when I'm unhappy about some past event that has happened. I find myself going back there and wishing that it were different, or wishing that it had not happened, or trying to correct that thing that I think should not have happened. So I spend my future time trying to change, or to sort of change who I feel I became because of this past event that happened. So I'm usually unhappy about some past thing that I'm trying to either avoid, cover up, or do something about. I mean, and I'm sure you can all relate to this. Or the other place I hang out a lot for past is if there was some wonderful, pleasant experience I had in the past, I'm usually trying to relive it again by thinking about it again. I've done that before, just gone back and relived something over and over again. And when I say these things, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with anything, okay? I just want to make this clear. And there's nothing wrong. I'm not judging anything. I'm just saying that these are places we go that take us out of the now. And it's just, and I'm saying this not to try to have you have it be different, but just to notice. What I want you to do is notice what happens in your experience. So I'm saying a bit about what happens in my experience. I want you to just notice, what your mode of choice is, and where you kind of hang out that takes you out of this present moment. It's just something that we're going to explore, okay? And I want you to just begin to notice that and then to see if you can feel the difference between when you're in the present and when you're in these other places, okay? And then you can decide for yourself, you know, what actually feels more fun for you. Okay, so past, it's I'm unhappy about something, some past event that, you know, I think was bad and I eventually want to change in the future. And then some pleasant experience that I'm wanting to relive over and over again, okay? Usually in the past. Now, the future position, this is where I used to hang out quite a bit, all right? And there are pretty much two arcs for future that I've seen. It's worry about the future, you know, and that contains, you know, stories about my health, my future health, you know, my future relationships. Am I going to find the one? Future work, money. Money's a big future worry spot, you know. Am I going to have enough money to pay my bills? You know, what's going to happen to me when I get old? Am I going to have retirement? Is Social Security still going to be around? What kind of health benefits? Am I going to end up in an old folks? How long am I going to live? I mean, we just go into all kinds of stories and places of things we can't possibly know from this moment, but we do. We spend a lot of time there, okay? And if you have children, you probably spend a lot of time about the future of your children. You know, are they going to make it in the world? What are they going to become? Or if it's not children, it's other loved ones. I mean, it's we can make ourselves sick with anxiety and scare ourselves silly about these future imaginings that we have that we can't possibly really control or have any way of knowing how it's really going to turn out. I mean, we can have our ideas about it, or we can feel like we can project different things based on what we're doing now. But, you know, in the end, life is such a surprising, mysterious thing. Remember last week I talked about life as a mystery? We really don't know. We really don't know what's going to happen, okay? And there is an actual, you know, there's beauty in this mystery. And what will happen is when we try to project what's going to happen, it's then if life does not serve up what we have imagined, then we beat ourselves up, we feel like a failure, and we just set ourselves up for just a lot of pain. So these future worries, these future imaginings of what could happen, that's one way. And then the other is, which was my favorite, was future wonderful things that were going to happen. Oh, that sounds really wonderful. It is wonderful. I mean, I lived a lot on this, a lot of hope, you know, of imagining what my future was going to be and how I could create it to be a certain way, and it was going to be so much better than the past, so much better than what I was living now. And I spent a lot of time, you know, imaging and visioning, and until one day I really realized I was kind of tired. I was kind of exhausted that I had kind of put a lot of energy into it, that I was spending a lot of my time actually in the future, in these future ideas about life, that I wasn't even really enjoying what was in front of me, you know. And when I really realized that one day, I was actually kind of shocked, you know. I actually was kind of shocked. I realized, wow, I was living in this future hope place a lot. And the only thing that really kind of stopped it was that at some point it just became obvious to me and I became aware of it. And it's not like I had to, like, you know, work so hard to stop. It was just, you know, it's sort of like when your hand is on a hot stove or something that hurts and you sort of become aware of it. It's like, ooh. You just, it's instinctive to just move your hand. And so it was sort of like this, it was instinctive. Oh, wow. Oh, I can see I've really been, like, in some ways hurting myself. It wasn't like a painful kind of hurt, but it was like, oh, I'm missing out on what's here now. And I've just been spending a lot of my time in the future. And I guess part of what got me was I realized that a lot of the future that I had met didn't turn out the way I had imagined. I mean, life would happen, but it wouldn't be these fantasies that I had, okay? And so all these fantasies never really panned out in the way that I had imagined them. But other wonderful things did happen, you know, without me imagining anything about those things. And I began to go, oh, wow, well, there's something else really running the show here. And if I could just, and if I just, what if I can just trust in this bigger me, this life force that is benevolent, that is good, that is bringing me a future, not from my imaginings, but bringing me a future from something bigger than what my human mind can see, but so much bigger and so much richer. And I just took my hand off the stove and went, oh, okay. And the energy inside of me just relaxed because I realized I had put so much energy into this that it was just, I was like burning myself out from the inside out, that I was just exhausted and I just couldn't do it anymore. And that was that, oh, hand on the hot stove, time to let go of this and trust, you know, in something wiser, something bigger, that something bigger is moving me. Okay, so that's time, that's past and future. And then there is the subject of, there's you and me. Okay, I'm going to talk about the you, which is everything outside of me first. And the you position is, okay, well, we know this, especially if you're in a relationship. Look, think about the thoughts that run through your head about the other person, especially like intimate relationships, husband, wives, boyfriend, girlfriend, sometimes sisters, brothers, family. And all of the stories about the other person, and we really believe these stories about the other person, you know. You are cruel to me. You don't love me. You're selfish. You know, you betray, whatever the story is, okay. So that's with other people, and particularly the ones that we have these intimate relationships with, you can really begin to just pay attention to what you say about the other person. It's really very interesting. It is like a soap opera. It's a soap opera of our own making, but it's just very interesting. And I'm saying, again, I'm saying to do this from the place of just witnessing, just noticing. Nothing is wrong. You didn't do anything bad or wrong. It's just what we as human beings do, and it's a way in which we keep ourselves out of the present moment, okay? It's like in this present moment is who we truly are, or we can begin to access or get in touch with more of our time's eternal nature. But when we were young, when something happened when we were young, probably very, very early, and there was fear, and in that moment of fear, and there was no one there, it was just ourselves. And since we were afraid and we didn't really know about who we really were, or we, I think, deliberately came out to forget that, it's like we turned away from the moment because we didn't understand the present moment. We didn't understand the moment, especially when we're young and there's no one there. There's an emptiness there. But that emptiness is who we are. It's not empty in the sense of that it's that it's a no thing. That's it. It's no concrete thing, but it's everything. It is life, awareness itself, but it's not a thing. It's a beingness, but it can feel like there's nothing. And in that feeling like it's nothing and not understanding that it is awareness, we turn away from the moment, and then these stories get created. Okay. We're trying to make sense of this feeling of emptiness and loneliness and not understanding that it's the aspect of our being in which everything is happening. And so then we turn away from that and we make up these stories, okay? And then we've been doing it ever since, okay? And so all of this that I am sharing is just somewhat of a vehicle to eventually get you to the place where you can, in that moment of fear, not to turn away from fear, but to go into the emptiness, to the feeling of the nothingness, and really then be able to see what's really there. See, it's not that there's nothing there. It's just that we don't even get to experience what's there because we've jumped out of it so quickly. So it takes a little practice, it takes a little time to even notice that this is what we have done, that we were mistaken, we didn't understand, and part of it is that this is the way we created this experience to be in order to have the eventually get ourselves to the place of seeming separation. This kind of breaking of our hearts had to be done. So anyway, so these stories get created. So it's interesting. I mean, we're so creative in the stories that we have concocted about ourselves and about each other. So just really beginning to look at the stories we tell about other people and what we think they should do, what they didn't do, what they what you want them to do, and if they don't do this, you're not going to do that. It's very interesting. And then you also want to look at, all the others outside of you. One, life. Life is a bitch. Life is scary. Life doesn't love me. God has forsaken me. Nobody likes me. I'm different. That would be a me. But nobody likes me. Others, political parties, Republicans, the Democrats. And if you're one of the other, you talk bad about the other. Or, men and women. Well, men are this way and women are this way, So just look at all of these ways, and then we have these labels, then we go into stories about it, and we are in our minds about it and about the other, okay? So that's another way. But I think the most insidious one is the me position, the I am. Now, I spent a lot of time talking about I am identities, earlier in the show over the summer and fall. And if you want to go back and listen to some of those, then download those earlier talks on identities. But the story's about me, and that's what we do when we're young, when we turn away from ourselves in those moments of distress and fear. We basically tell stories about ourselves. I'm not lovable. My parents, I'm not wanted. I'm not good enough. You get the drift. And it's these senses of ourselves, these beliefs about ourselves, these identities that we create that really form our sense of ourselves and our experience of life. And we spend a lot of time in the eyes and shaming ourselves. And if you look at your eye, it's really interesting. You could tell these are made up because they a lot of times go from one extreme to the other. I mean, we're either, our two favorite positions are I'm not good enough, there's something wrong with me, to I'm better than somebody else, or, ways in which we compare ourselves to others and sort of kind of are like competing against others, If you're a woman, I think men do it too, but men do it more, I think it's more acceptable and it's more openly, but it's so this. So it's so funny because one minute I'm not good enough, and the next minute, I can come up with a story about how, some part of me is better than another person's part or whatever. And so you can see it's just a range, and they're just really stories, okay? So, again, we're just something to notice, something we're looking at. We're just going to begin to sort of just begin to like peel around the edges and look at this whole construction of this life that we have created. That's all we're going to do, and do it gently and do it softly, and just notice. Don't make it into another goal or something else as something to do or to get right or to get wrong. Just notice it, and then throughout all of it, always notice your breathing and notice that no matter where you go with these positions of taking yourself out of the now, you can simply, again, always bring yourself back to the next moment of I. And that's always a starting point because that's really the only place you can really, really create anything or to experience anything. I'm not trying to create, but to experience anything. And the next moment is always around, is always the next moment. And it's always available. And it's always free. And it's the next moment. And all we have to do is become aware of your breathing. Okay, I'm going to start fresh from this next moment. Okay. And when you're not in the moment and you're somewhere else, that's okay too. Just notice it. And then from that noticing, like the hand off the house, oh, okay. All right, I think I'll try and see and tolerate the initial kind of discomfort of being here now in this moment and see what there is. I've never given myself the chance to really be here in the moment because I've been too afraid, but I'm wiser now. I have more information now, and I think I'm just going to, for the fun of it, to see what it's like to be here in the moment. Okay, so that's the talk for today, and I am going to now go into the cards. So I'm going to give you a brief description of today. Today is Tuesday, January 25th. And today we're in Aquarius territory. And if you were born today, your birth card is a two of diamonds, and your planetary ruler card is a ten of diamonds. So you would be a double diamond. So values and money would be important to you, okay, and work, because both these birthdays have a big work component to them. Okay, a two of diamonds, though, is someone who has a very keen mind, and that's because they have a jack of spades and Mercury. And a jack of spades is the most creative card in the deck. You see a lot of actors who have jack of spades prominent in their life spread. So this would make someone, a two of diamonds, they have a love of the financial with the diamonds, as I said. And so they would be very successful in business and have a very crafty and creative mind. And since there are two, relationships are very important to them. And most of their life lessons will come in the area of relationships, okay, and in partnerships, okay. They like to make money with others. And this makes them great business partners. Now, they're emotional, so they're great with business, money, and that, but they have a lot of work to do in the emotional area, okay? And this is due to the fact that they have two aces in their life spread, but they have the Ace of Hearts in Pluto, and this can be a lifelong theme of wanting love and having difficulty getting it, because the Ace of Hearts is being lonely in love, so they have a need for affection. But because of their work, they oftentimes will have a conflict between work and love. And also, too, a two of diamonds is very controlling in relationships because they have an eight of clubs as their Venus card. And because they have this fear of abandonment, they'll want to control the other person, which never really works in relationships, okay? So, but if they become aware that they have this issue around wanting, you know, affection, but feeling abandoned, then they can work with that and really do well with relationships, okay? But their personal relationships is where they have a lot of work to do. And if for a two of diamonds is not completely submersed in the material world, they can often come into a place where they discover a special purpose for their lives. This is because they have a six of clubs first karma card. So, and that purpose would involve bringing people around to a higher understanding of life. So that's a bit about the Two of Diamonds. And the Ten of Diamonds is the most blessed card in the deck because it sits right smack dab in the middle of the grand solar spread. Abundance surrounds them constantly, and they could experience one blessing after another. But the thing is with the Ten of Diamonds, they often don't feel like they're blessed, okay? That's the thing. So you can imagine that must be really interesting to be the most blessed card, but really you have to grow into, you know, really knowing that, because there's something inherent in the life path that actually makes them believe that they're not blessed, but they really are blessed. And part of that is because, you know, there are ten of diamonds and they have a ten of hearts moon and they have two aces in their life spread as well. So tens are like aces and they're very masculine. You could say Ace is the number one. It's alone. It's being alone. It's very masculine. So they've got four of these sort of influences in their life path. So they're basically loners. They can be loners a lot and where they think or think that they have to do everything themselves, by themselves, you know, alone by themselves, and they have to accomplish by themselves. So, you know, and then all this masculine energy makes it hard for them to actually receive the abundance that wants to come in, because in order to receive, you have to kind of be able to go into the feminine receiving side as well. So this is partly why they have a hard time really receiving the blessings that are there for them. And they have a very intuitive side with the Queen of Clubs first karma card, and that's one of the most intuitive cards in the deck. But because they do sit in the center spread, I mean, so they do need that alone time with all that ace energy, but they also love being the center of attention and would make good performers, good teachers, anybody who would feel comfortable being on a stage. I knew a ten of diamonds. I dated a ten of diamonds guy. He was in a group and he had both those sides. He was in a singing group, and so he loved that, but he also liked being alone a lot. So it's a very, very interesting combination here. Very blessed card. No, but they also have relationships issues because, and at some point, they'll go through some kind of karmic divorce or some kind of karmic breakup. and they have to sort of deal with what, you know, the underlying issues around that. And this is due to, they have a Five of Hearts in Saturn, a Nine of Hearts in Pluto. And Saturn and Pluto are the cards that we really have to, whatever cards are in those places, it's the energies that we really have to transform. Okay, so this person, Two of Diamonds, Ten of Diamonds, is someone who would really be interested in partnership, but have challenges in that. And but someone who would be very interested in it, and good with money, because both of these cards are very good business people, okay? All right, so that's a bit about someone who would be born today. I'm going to see if there's anybody on the line who would like a reading. Hold on. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who's there? Hello.
It's Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Is there anyone
else? Hi.
Hello. Huh? Hello? Okay. So it looks like it's just you, Jennifer. Would you like a reading?
Sure. I would love to know what's up for me in this period of my, you know, of my year.
Okay. Well, I believe you have a birthday coming up soon.
Well, yes,
you're in the last.
Do.
You're in the last period of the year, and just for if information teaching purposes, I'll tell people. So there are seven periods, and we have cards. Usually, two cards for each period. Usually, for Neptune, we only have one card, but for each period of the year, in that period, the 52 days each, so it's like 7.5 weeks. And there's usually a direct card and an underlying card. And those cards during that period kind of give you some information as to what energies are present. And the type of period kind of colors the sort of interpretation of the cards. So the first period is Mercury, and that happens, you know, the first 7.5 weeks of your birthday. The second period is Venus. And so Mercury would be communication, anything quick that happens, okay? Venus period would be anything that happens in the home or in relationships or with women, your relationships with women. Then you have a Mars period. Your Mars period deals with legal, so it'll tell you what kind of energies you have that are going to help be useful, helpful to you around legal issues, also work issues and relationships with men, okay? And then the next period is Jupiter, and Jupiter is considered the most blessed period, and it's actually the period where you can determine, you know, whatever cards there indicate how you can make money for that year. So it's also, too, whatever blessing. So anything card in Jupiter is, you look at that and you interpret that. It's going to be, you can assume that if you take the highest sort of interpretation of that card, that's what you want to do if it falls in your Jupiter. It's like a gift. Okay, and then there's Saturn, and for most people, Saturn is usually the hardest time of the year because Saturn is where you could say Saturn is, it could be about your work and career in the world in terms of how people see your reputation, but it's also maybe lessons that we need to learn that we have not learned, and for that we're being sort of forced to learn. Okay, so that's why some people have a hard time with Saturn. But you can have cards in Saturn like a King of Spades, which is the most powerful card in the deck. And to me, that would indicate like it would be a great time to really push ahead with anything you want to do. And even though it's in Saturn, it might mean that you will have to work hard for it, but you would ultimately be successful because that's such a powerful card. So Saturn is where you would have to work hard for something, put really a lot of effort into something. And it could be also, too, again, like I said, indicating when there may be some things going on about your reputation in the world. Okay, and then there's Uranus, and that's the sixth period. I mean, that's the sixth, so that's second to the last. And Uranus is, and I want to say that for some people, Saturn doesn't seem to, like if you are a Capricorn, you automatically are Saturn to yourself in the system. So you're already kind of hard on yourself, and sometimes with Scorpios too. So they may not experience Saturn in the same way that other people may experience Saturn. It might not seem as difficult to them. But for a lot of people, Saturn seems to be a really challenging period to move through. But, you know, we move through it every year. Everybody gets through it. So, you know, it's just another a period that just has a different flavor to it. Okay, so then we go into Uranus. And Uranus is real estate. It's also like work, but it work in terms of our acquaintances, the people that we work with, our associations. And it's also unusual things happen in Uranus. And also, it's also a good time for, you know, unusual studies of some kind, like the occult or something metaphysical, something that you that mainstream would be considered different, okay? And then there's Neptune, and Neptune is always a 52-day period right before your next birthday. And usually by Neptune, you know, it's like it's a little bit watery and dreamy. Things aren't so formed. And I think really you're sort of processing from the rest of the year. And they say it's a good idea not to really make too many important decisions in Neptune or new decisions. Like there may have been something that was going on all year that, you know, you have been processing or that you have gotten different information about and, you know, you make that decision. That's fine. But say if what I mean is that say you meet somebody new in Neptune. Like, you know, so that's not the best time then because you're in that place where it's a little bit fuzzy and dreamy and you may not be seeing things very clearly. So it's a good idea to just wait until after your birthday if you have to make a decision about something new that's happened, you know, during that time period and you're not really sure. I would say don't make a decision. You just want to wait until you really feel like, okay, you know, I'm seeing things clearly. I have a grasp on things. Now, there's some cards in Neptune that are very, very mundane and solid, like a Ten of Spades as Neptune. It really overcomes the illusory nature of Neptune. And so, you know, you're seeing things clearly. But generally, Neptune, I think it's a good time to just relax and just to sort of take in all the things that have happened for the year. And just sort of just wind down from, you know, because we always expand. Life is always moving us forward, you know, whether we think about it or not or realize it or not. Life is always moving us forward. And I think it's good to just take some time, a lot of times, to just give ourselves that space to go, wow, to give ourselves even time to become aware of what happened, what did I do, how did I shift, how did I grow, and become aware of that, to get current with yourself, to begin to see yourself in this new way that you have become. Because I think when it's just ourselves, unless we have a lot of people around us reflecting things back to us, a lot of times we don't notice the changes that we have been through. We don't notice how different we are. We don't notice that we've expanded in this way and that way. We don't notice that we've done this differently or that we feel differently about this or that we responded to it differently. Like I said, unless someone has reflected this to us or unless we've had a lot of experiences where the mirroring back has been very clear. So Neptune is a good time to really kind of just kind of hang out, okay? So that being said, Jennifer, I'm going to look in your Jennifer is, I know, an ace of spades, not a spade. She's a double spade, okay? And you're 63 years old, right?
Yeah. Yes, about to be 64.
About to be 64. Okay, let's see. And let's see. I'm looking at your seven-year spread, too. That's why I'm kind of... Okay. This year, 63, was the first year of your new seven-year cycle. I know I mentioned that before, but I just want to say that again because this is your first year of your seven-year. So this would be your Mercury year of your seven-year. So you're just kind of getting started in the seven-year cycle. And in the seven-year cycle, Your long range for the 7 year is a Jack of Hearts, and that is like that's higher love. That is really that's like Christ consciousness. You know what I mean? So like a main focus of this year, I mean of the next 7 years, so you got six more after this one, it's really kind of coming into a place where you're really, I think, comfortable with sort of being, walking around sort of in that mind frame, or not even mind, but in that place, in that, in your heart, in this place of just kind of like that kind of higher love. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You got an eight of diamonds underneath it, so that's actually having the money that you need as you do this. You know, I mean.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because we could think, oh, higher level, how's that going to pay my rent?
Exactly.
Yeah. So just, you know, so it's good to know that you got a jack of hearts, eight of diamonds, long range for the seven-year period. So as you come into that, know you will have money that you need, okay, as you go into this. And you can imagine how important work this is to be doing that, to be focusing on that, okay. And you've got a you got two aces as Pluto and result. So a lot of new things coming in, new information that will help you do that, and also to new ways and really loving yourself through it all. Okay, it's like so you're challenged to just really allow new information, and you'll be interested in new information, new ways of being able to do that, but there's a way in which loving yourself is going to be a big part of this, and maybe you even find new ways of loving yourself, or new ways of allowing yourself to experience love as you move through this. Okay, now you got your displacement through your diamond, so that's worry about money.
Yes.
So you're going to be challenged. Whatever the displacement card is, you have to, like, pay some attention to this area. So it would be paying attention to these worried thoughts you have about not having enough money. Okay? So you're going to have to find some kind of way to deal with this. Because three is a very creative energy. And if you don't harness the three, it really can create a lot of stress. And so you have to find a way to take this energy when it comes up to be able to and it's also creative ideas about how to make money. But mainly in this position, it really can lead to just fear about money. Okay, so you have to find ways to, when this energy comes up, to find ways to put it in its proper perspective.
Mm-hmm.
To really know the truth, you know, to remind that part of you about the truth about life, is that you're always taken care of. I mean, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what, maybe whatever information you need to feed it to that part of yourself, soothe it, you know, to really tell it the truth. And, you know, also that comes with this is then as that part is soothed, ideas about how you can make money will come, and you'll be able to be grounded enough to take whatever action feels organic to you about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's just like the 7 years, and you're just getting into it. You just finished your first year. And so I'd say by the middle of your next year, you might kind of have more of an idea about how that this 7 year is going to play out. But the 7 year is much more subtle than the yearly, but it's a more powerful energy because it lasts longer. But it's like a backdrop to the yearly spread. But just so you can always know, have that in the back of your mind as something that is like a theme for the 7 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But so for this period, you actually, it's so funny because you have a King of Diamonds and Neptune.
This coming year?
No, in this, I'm back to your yearly spread in this period until your birthday. This last period, you've had the period before, you had a Ten of Spades with a King of Diamonds underlying it. Ten of Spades is lots of projects, and I know Jennifer because I'm good friends with Jennifer, and you did have so many projects going on.
a couple months yeah. ago. Did you not? That's
oh,
that
yes.
ten, yeah,
overwhelming.
That's, yeah, that's that ten of spades. Ten is big. So anything is that with the ten of diamonds, a ten of spades, a ten, it's big. It's audiences, it's groups, lots of people, lots of things in the spades. It was a lot of work, a lot of projects, okay? And you had a king of diamonds under it, which is sort of like you being like running your own business, you know, kind of.
Yeah,
so,
it was like
yeah.
that.
Okay, so then that's what this period is. But like I said, the Neptune period is more dreamy, more, you know, so a king of diamonds and Neptune would be, yeah, you know, you wouldn't be, it wouldn't be like necessarily so much work. But I think it's for you more just reflecting on how you did run that like a business. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And for you to take that in, you know,
uh-huh.
for you to take in that you ran a business and,
uh-huh.
and you're capable of doing that. You know, and it doesn't mean that you even necessarily are going to or that you want to, but just to know that the energies were present, you stepped into it, because with any king role, you have to actually be willing to step into it, okay? And you could run it the way you want to run it, but the energy was there. And kings always just bring a lot of gifts with them, you know, just the energy of having a king, you know, would just be... but just be a powerful energies that are present. Now, whether you, you know, do anything with them or not, that's, you know, individual choice and decision, but the energy is there. So let me just look at that. This is all in your Ace of Spades birth card. Let me just look briefly in your ruling card, what you had for that period. Okay. Well, you have a Six of Clubs now, okay? And a Six of Clubs is about, any six would be you tuning into what your special life's purpose, okay? And so Six of Clubs and Neptune, I think now for you, is really just tuning in. And if you get some, any kind of intuitive hits about, you know, what you're here to do. That's what a Six of Clubs in Neptune, I think, would indicate, you know. Because anything mm-hmm. in Neptune also has a spiritual quality to it. Any kind of spiritual work that you endeavor to do in Neptune is good. And a Six of Clubs in Neptune is the right. There's a possibility of being able to receive some kind of message about, or messages, or intuitive hits about, you know, your a life's purpose or a life's path or something like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So just for the, you know, until your birthday, just continue to tune in. You don't have to. There's nothing for you to really do about this, but to just be aware of, you know, possibly receiving information, you know, in many different ways. But I mean, and there's no way that you can know it could come, but just to be on the to be open to receive whatever messages life wants you to have about
mm-hmm.
your path. So those are Neptune. I'm just going to see if there's anybody else in the line who wants a reading. If not, I'm going to tell you about your
okay.
opinion on the space. But so hold on. Is there anyone else who on the line who wants a reading? Okay, I thought I heard somebody else. Come on. Okay. All right, well, your nine, if I'm looking at your 7 year for your nine of spades, okay. Well, like I said, you're just in your Mercury year and you're going to your Venus year. But your theme for your long range, which is the theme for the 7 years, a Six of Hearts direct, and a Ten of Spades line. A Ten of Spades is again that big project card again. Okay.
Oh.
So, but this underlying is not as powerful as the direct card. But there's going to be periods, I think, during the 7 years where you're going to be having some, you know, work projects going on. Okay. Just so you know. And the six again, and the six again is again another opportunity. So you got this for the 7 year to really maybe tune in to, again, messages and receive information about your life path. So I would say just to continue to be open to different information that you receive that will just keep helping you hone in on exactly, you know, how you actually show up in the world. Now, Six of Hearts is also responsibility in relationships. It's also responsibilities in love, it's responsibility in love. So it's balance, it's karma in relationships. So it's just making sure that, you know, that your relationships are loving and kind and that you're just doing right by others and you're doing right by yourself. Just making sure your relationships are balanced in your work life too. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Just from the year you've had, is that kind of any helpful guidance at all?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Everything fits. Everything fits, and it feels like, especially this being the Neptune time and a time to reflect, I actually have been feeling more reflective and more at ease reflecting and looking back and taking in a little bit more what I've accomplished. Which I'd kind of forgotten how much I accomplished during that period that you're talking about, that you mentioned of the big projects. And, I do feel dreamy and open and like I hadn't really been thinking about looking for information coming in, but now that has come up, I'll be more tuned in to messages.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I had already been looking.
And
certainly the self-love and the notion of kindness and being responsible, the responsibility in love really strikes me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a big thing.
With everyone, including myself, and not leaving myself out of that.
Yes, yes. And what will happen is that any way in which we're out of balance with that, life will bring something to us to show us that. And then we have the opportunity to get ourselves
back. Well, that's already happened.
That's the thing with the sixes, okay? Because it's about if they're already in balance, nothing will happen. You know what I mean? You won't be shown anything. If we're out of balance in any way, something is going to reflect that to us. And it's a gift.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to go, you know, just saying, hey, you know, it's just like flying a plane, you know. If you're off course, you want something to let you know you're off course, and then you just can course correct.
Yeah.
You know? So that's how that is. And then just the last thing I'll say about is that you got two threes and two five. You got a five of spades and three of clubs, Pluto and result, and those are cards of change. And, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone's going to die soon, so we're almost at the end. And then you've got a three of hearts, the environment. That's kind of more than one people. That's creativity. That's meeting people, probably even in groups of people in terms of a variety of people to either play with or to work with. And then you've got a five of diamonds displacement, which is actually change in the way you make money. It may be business travel. So you got a lot of creativity and a lot of change. So just prepare yourself. You know, fasten your seatbelt. That there is going to be change, okay? And you want to go with it. You want to go with it, okay? And it's going to be because you got these two fives in challenging positions, so there may be a place where you may fight it or it's challenging you, but you're going to need to put energy into these changes and just kind of allow yourself the gift of these changes.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be they just begin to kind of just in your mind's eye know that, okay, there's going to be changes and I'm going to prepare myself and allow these changes to come, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And trust that these changes will actually be good for me. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a little scary.
Well, see, yeah, well, okay. Well,
maybe I'll find out a little bit more about those challenges so I can be more prepared for them later.
I think the challenge is not the change. The challenge is in you.
Uh-huh, yeah.
The challenge is not the change. It's wherever we avoid change, that's where the challenge is.
And where in myself am I going to be experiencing that?
You've got Pluto, which the changes will transform you, okay?
Yeah.
So the changes will transform you. You got a Three of Clubs result, and that's a writer's card. So I'm thinking you writing something, maybe you'll write a book, and that whole thing is going to change your life in some way that transforms you.
Uh-huh.
It transforms just the very way in which you live, because it's the Five of Spades, and spades is what we do every day. It's the biggest change in terms of lifestyle. So, you know, so that's what I mean. These changes can be good, but a lot of times we don't, you know, a lot of times we fight the changes. But really these, you know, life
is
giving us these changes that are actually going to expand our lives in certain ways. But you, in our minds we have ideas about things, or we want to hold on to the way it is.
Yes, I see. Now that one makes a lot of sense. The writer's card, the resistance. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
got it. Thank
you. My phone is going
that was
in
great.
Right on time. Okay, so we'll talk
okay.
later too.
Okay.
Love you. All right. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, so that's our show. You'll be able to download the show in a week or so. And good day, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Bye.